Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Systemair fourth quarter and full year 2016 financial results call on the 3rd of April, 2017. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star 1 on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we'd like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intend, will, could, may, or might, and the negatives of such terms or similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions or competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Systemair and its operations. I'll now hand the conference over to Mr. Yevgeny Chukov. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our fourth quarter and full year 2016 results. I'd like to introduce you to our key speakers. We have Mikhail Shamolin, our president of Systemair, on the line. We have Vsevolod Rozanov, Senior Vice President and CFO, and myself, Yevgeny Chukov, Vice President, Corporate Communications. Before I hand over the call, I'd like to remind everyone that we have a presentation on our website of today's results, and you can find it at systemair.ru. And I will now turn the call over to Mikhail for his comments. Mikhail, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us today. Once again, Systemair is reporting strong strategic progress and solid growth across key performance measures, reflecting important structural changes in our business. During a challenging and volatile year, our consolidated revenues and adjusted OEBDA grew by 3% and 6% respectively. Our investment portfolio has become more diversified. While MTS delivered good results in a very tough operating environment, posting a 2% revenue increase, the key growth drivers were our major non-telecom assets, which helped us to more than offset pressures in the telecom industry. Our children goods retailer, Detский Мир, continued to implement its expansion strategy, having posted a 12% like-for-like growth while opening 101 new stores. Детский Мир's OEBDA grew 33% year-on-year, and OEBDA margins widened to 10.3%, in particular due to increased efficiencies and very strong focus on cost control. Segezha Group, our paper and packaging holding, acquired and successfully integrated a large woodworking plant in Siberia, which helped to more than double production of timber. Segezha also kept a good pace of investing, adding new capacities across its key products, sack paper, paper bags, and plywood. We saw strong investment momentum in agriculture as we continue to build out Russia's leading player in the sector in terms of both size and efficiencies. Our agricultural holding, STIP, expanded its land bank with 168,000 hectares of high-quality land in the best farming regions of Russia, with our total land bank now amounting to 315,000 hectares. On the back of very strong harvest, our agricultural assets represented by STIP and RZ Agra together generated 11.6 billion rubles of revenues and 4 billion rubles of EBITDA. Agriholding STIP posted a 4x increase in both revenues and OEBDA during the year. This business is set to grow further. We are confident that STIP has the best asset mix and management team in the sector, so we will continue investing in order to further grow the land bank, build new dairy farms, expand apple gardens and greenhouses areas. Another business emerging as a new profitable contributor to Systemair's performance is real estate. Our strategy in the sector is based on the fact that Systemair portfolio companies own a considerable pool of properties with a very strong monetization potential through either development of either development or commercial rent. We started to restructure and optimize our real estate bank 4 years ago by transferring less efficiently utilized properties to our real estate arm. As of today, Sistema's residential development business, Leader Invest, has a project portfolio of around 3 million square meters, which includes 520,000 square meters of highly profitable infill development project based on former fixed-line telephone stations previously controlled by MTS or MTS. The other part of the portfolio is represented by large, complex development projects such as Nagatina Island and Zil Yug. In the rental business, we own and manage around 470,000 square meters of commercial real estate, as well as cottages and land plots in the Moscow area, Serebrenny Bor, and the Moscow region. Our overall strategy in real estate is to remain cautious in terms of new investments into large projects while monetizing the assets that we already have. Sistema's assets in healthcare and pharmaceuticals, Mitsi and Binafarm, are also developing well, having posted revenue growth of 14 and 17% respectively, as both assets continue to leverage structural growth opportunities of their respective markets. Our portfolio has also become more diversified in terms of cash generation. In 2016, we received 23 billion rubles from MTS in the form of dividends and over 12 billion rubles as dividends and regular cash returns from non-telecom assets. In particular, I would like to highlight increased returns from Segezha Group and agricultural assets. Last 12 months were impressive in terms of divestments and monetization. We successfully exited SG Trans amid a decline in the railroad petroleum transportation sector. We also conducted a number of transactions to monetize MTS shares and participated in the company's share buyback, as MTS has remained committed to shareholder remuneration. An extremely important milestone in Sistema's history in Detsky Mir's IPO completed in February. The transaction valued the company at 62.8 billion rubles, making a five-fold increase in the company's value since 2012. Detsky Mir is an example of what Sistema does best and will continue to do. We identified a market segment with high growth potential, developed a strategy, found a strong management team in place, and brought the business to market to realize its value. Today, Sistema maintains a majority stake in Detsky Mir, as we believe the business will continue to grow in value. Speaking about the outlook for 2017, I would like to stress that our growth will continue. As you can see on slide 13 of our presentation, most of Sistema's major non-telecom assets are expected to deliver impressive double-digit growth in revenues during the year under organic growth scenario. Detsky Mir plans to boost a double-digit like-for-like sales growth, open at least 70 new stores, and further develop e-commerce, its fastest-growing sales channel. New production capacities will further strengthen Segezha's position as one of Russia's leading export-oriented producers and preserve its strong competitive advantages. STEP will continue to integrate and improve productivity in its newly acquired assets, as well as grow production organically. Leader Invest will more than double cash sales, as it will be launching sales in new residential projects. In terms of M&A opportunities, our particular focus will be bolt-on acquisitions in forestry and agricultural sectors in Russia. We also continue to consider a number of special situation deals with distressed assets in various sectors, which is a core of our business model. Our monetization pipeline remains very strong, and we continue to work towards further IPOs and attracting strategic investors for assets in agriculture, forestry, and a number of other sectors. We are also working on divestments of a number of non-core assets in our portfolio companies, which should provide us with additional investment resources. To sum up, we expect that our portfolio will continue robust growth and diversification, while its cash-generating capabilities will also be improving in 2017. Combined with a considerable strengthening of our financial profile, which our CFO will discuss in more detail soon, all this positions us extremely well to further enhance value to shareholders. As you have probably seen from our earlier communication today, our board of directors has recommended the final dividend for 2016 of 7.8 billion rubles, which together with the interim dividend that we paid last year represents a 78% increase compared to the 2015 dividend payment and corresponds to the total dividend yield of 6% against Sistema's average share price in 2016. In addition, we have updated our dividend policy to target higher annual dividend yield floor and higher minimum dividend per share. The minimum dividend yield is now set at 6% as we increased it from 4%. The minimum dividend per share has been increased to 1.19 rubles compared to 0.67 rubles, which we announced last year. I am confident that this commitment puts us well on track to further improve cash conversion and create more value for shareholders in 2017 and beyond. I would also like to report a successful continuation of our new program for senior management to participate in the share capital of Sistema and our portfolio companies, which we develop to fully align shareholder returns and management compensation under an investment company business model. During the reporting year, our senior team invested their personal wealth into Sistema shares, while in late 2016 we launched a process of co-investment by our portfolio managers into the share of Sistema's portfolio companies. To date, total investment of our top managers into Sistema's shares and its portfolio companies under this program have exceeded 680 million rubles. This mechanism will definitely contribute to further enhancement of our investment process and the quality of the decision, which will benefit all Sistema's stakeholders. And I will now hand over the call to our CFO, Всеволод Розанов, for the financial overview.
Thank you, Mikhail, and thank you all for joining us today. As Mikhail mentioned, in 2016, Sistema Group continued to deliver growth in revenues, OIBDA, and margins, despite pressures we saw in the telecom industry. The composition of revenues and OIBDA within our portfolio has changed considerably due to strong progress in the non-telecom assets. Our fastest growing assets were AgriHoldings Step, Detskiy Mir, and Sigesh Group, while we also saw a very strong growth of revenues in real estate development. And as a result of this growth, we saw a sound rise in dividends and other cash inflows from our non-telecom assets in 2016 by 46% compared to 2015. Adjusted OIBDA of our non-public assets together with Detskiy Mir increased more than 2.5 times, and their share in the portfolio's total OIBDA reached 15.2%, comparing to 6% in 2015. This was driven by improved risk cost at MTS Bank and also robust performance of Detskiy Mir, Sigesha, and Step, which together increased their share in the portfolio's OIBDA to 10% from 7% in 2015. Detskiy Mir and Sigesha Group saw year-on-year OIBDA growth of 33% and 37% respectively, with wider margins as both businesses maintained focus on operational efficiencies. Adjusted OIBDA at AgriHoldings Step was up 4 times, with a very good OIBDA margin of around 34%. In 2016, our consolidated sales, general and administrative expenses were 157 billion rubles, representing of an increase of 5.9%, which is in line with the inflation trend in Russia. SG&A grew due to expansion of the retail network at MTS, organic growth at Detskiy Mir and Sigesha, as well as consolidation of newly acquired agricultural, while RTI, MTS Bank, BPC demonstrated a significant decrease in SG&A. That said, the SG&A to revenue ratio showed impressive improvements in a number of key portfolio companies, in particular at Detskiy Mir, Sigesha, Leader Invest, and MedC. At the corporate center, we saw a moderate pressure on SG&A costs, mainly due to continued asset monetization and increase in headcount at Sistema due to the increased number of new projects, as well as growth of existing businesses for the last 2 years. Consolidated capital expenditures in 2016 decreased by 11.7% year-on-year, largely due to reduction in MTS. This was partially offset by an over two-fold capex growth at Sigesha Group, which is actively investing in expansion of its capacities to monetize its production cost advantages. Now I would like to shift to debt and liquidity position. On the group level, we posted 14% reduction in the total debt, driven mainly by a considerable decrease at MTS. At the same time, Segezha Group and Agricultural Holdings successfully raised new bank debt to finance their capex and M&A, and Leader Invest raised 3 billion rubles through a successful issue of corporate bonds, thus demonstrating increased financial and corporate maturity, which is important for us as an investor. On the portfolio level, we also achieved a strong progress in restructuring of RTI's debt, so with VTB Bank allowing the high-tech company to significantly reduce its current interest payments. I am glad to report that we have achieved our deleveraging and debt optimization target at the corporate center level. During the year, we repaid debt guaranteed by Sistema related to SSTL, restructured options on SSTL and Micron shares, and also made early redemption of the part of our more expensive public debt. This helped us to reduce total financial liabilities at the corporate center by 33% and to significantly improve forex structure of our debt. During the year, the share of our liabilities denominated in foreign currencies decreased from 61% to 46%, taking into account the hedge of the international bank debt. On the top of that, we also have hedged all dollar payments that we are due to make to the Russian government for SSTL shares in 2017. After the reporting date, we continue to actively optimize our debt portfolio to take advantage of the decline in interest rates. As you might have seen, Sistema just closed the book on the 5-year domestic bond worth 15 billion rubles at a very comfortable coupon rate of 8.5%. This level of rate is a good achievement reflecting the strong appetite the market has towards our debt. Almost 100% of proceeds from the issuance will be used to refinance our existing, more expensive liabilities. Our cash position remained comfortable as of the end of the year at 13.5 billion rubles, which was further supported this year by almost 13 billion ruble inflows from Detsky Mir IPO and 4.7 billion proceeds from participation in MTS share buyback. This year we expect significantly lower outflows to redeem debt and interest as compared to 2016. We also do not expect any outflows to capitalize our banking segment. Together with stronger cash generation capability of our non-telecom assets and good prospects for further asset monetization, we believe that Sistema is positioned well to deliver on its strategy and further increase returns to its shareholders. Thank you for your attention. I will now hand the call back to Evgeny.
Thank you, Vsevolod. Operator, we're now ready to answer any questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow the signal to reach your equipment. Again, star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We'll take our first question from Ivan Kim from VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Two questions from my side, please. Firstly, what can you update us on what upstream from non-public assets you expect in 2017? Non-public is not correct, from non-MTS assets, rather. Secondly, how important is deleveraging for 2017? Is it as much on the agenda as it was last year, or you're more comfortable with the current leverage that you have at the holding company level? Thank you.
Yes, with respect to proceeds from non-MTS group of companies, we do not expect level of dividends and other proceeds to increase significantly as compared to 2016, because Segezha Group is now implementing a sizable investment program, and therefore we are focused on that, so we don't expect as much dividends from Segezha as we did last year, so the lack of dividends there will have to be replaced by other sources of income for us, but overall I think the level will remain more or less stable with all the proceeds we're planning to collect. And as far as the leverage is concerned, it still is a priority. However, to a lesser extent than it was in 2016, obviously because the debt is becoming cheaper, and if you observed, last week we placed a 50 billion bond at 8.9. I believe that was rate which is you know, significantly lower than all the funding we were getting previously, and we are driving down the cost of funding across the board. Obviously, the dollar component of our debt is also helping with the ruble strengthening. So overall, with debt, we now feel a lot more comfortable than last year.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 if you'd like to place yourself in the queue for a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. We'll take our next question from Beatrice Bouchati from East Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. I would like to ask what type of dividend payout you intend to have from Jetskimir going forward. Thank you.
Well, that will have to be decided by the Jetskimir board, and given that it is a public company now, I cannot give you a forward-looking statement. But I don't expect Jetski dividend to go down, at least.
We'll take our next question from Alex Kazbechi from Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Just a quick follow-up on a couple of your assets, maybe. On SSTL, I remember you were saying that if there won't be any resolution by the end of January, you'll probably walk away from it. I don't think I've seen you walking away from it yet, so presumably something is cooking still there. Could you maybe give us an update of what's going on? Secondly, on RTI, I believe also you've been discussing with a possible expansion, maybe a JV with Rostechnologie, maybe a bit of an update. What should we expect from this asset, which, well, number one, has been always volatile, but number two, has been structurally difficult in terms of requiring debt restructuring, falling EBITDA, and so on and so forth. What is the realistic expectation, if you wish, from its performance over the next maybe year or two? That's probably it for now. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the questions. On SSTL, yes, it's been dragging a little longer than we anticipated, as it often happens in India. It has to do with the government processes related to approving the deal that we signed with Reliance. Good news is that we have not been putting any new financing into India, and whatever support the local business needed and whatever guarantees needed to be replaced, that was all done by our partner to be, and it continues to roll the deal forward. I cannot give you a definitive date on when it will be closed or resolved. I can only say that it will be very, very soon. I mean, we're expecting the outcome to be, you know, within days or weeks at most. But unfortunately, we are not in a full control of the situation there. We're still hoping that the deal would happen as we wanted it to happen, because this is the best outcome for everybody, and we are, you know, making everything to keep it together. On RTI, I think the biggest achievement of last year was refinancing and compiling all the debt of RTI into one. We signed a sizable deal with VTB, which consolidated the debt, I think total amount around 28 billion rubles, and restructured it in a way that it is a lot more comfortable for RTI in terms of interest and debt by payments, with certain ease out in the first 3 years, I believe. And so far, RTI is undergoing restructuring and efficiency improvements, which has to drive RTI's EBITDA at least 15% higher than last year. And we expect RTI to be fully sufficient in terms of repaying its own debt and servicing its own debt. We do not expect any new funding from Sistema to come into RTI this year or in fact any year to come. And as far as the deal, the potential deal with Rostec is concerned, we don't have a deal yet. I mean, it's very difficult to say whether it will happen or not. There are certain talks hold in place. But to give you any details or to somehow guide you whether this transaction is possible at this point is just too early. We're in discussions, but it's difficult to assess the probability. But even I can assure you that without this transaction, RTI is going to be self-sufficient in both its key defense business and microelectronic business. And financially, we think the company is now sound.
Okay, can I just follow up on two things? On the RTI, I mean, I understand fully that the probability, I mean, the deal may happen, may not happen. If it was to happen, how transformational that could be for RTI? I mean, are we talking about creating a much larger, so to say, company, or is it going to be more, so to say, modest, if you wish? And another question was just on the Segeja, given again your fairly modest top-line outlook for the next year, 5 to 10%. Is it just purely because of the modernization which is ongoing there? It's a temporary, so to say, slowdown of the growth, and you expect acceleration after the modernization is done by 2018, or is it something else which you had in mind?
On RTI, just to wrap up, I think at this point you should treat RTI as a standalone business as it is today and not count for any transformational deals. And sort of the variety of potential deal is too broad to define right now. It's kind of from one extreme to another extreme. And we don't know where we're going to end up, and will we end up with a deal at all. It's just discussions at this point. Nothing is signed. Nothing is definite. So we, for the purposes of our budget, and you, for the purposes of your kind of planning, modeling, and understanding Sistema, should count on RTI being as is, you know, independent venture. Mm-hmm. And Segeja, major effect is, of course, currency effect, because 70% of what Segeja produces is being exported and sold in dollars or euros, you know, hot currency, and last year the average ruble-dollar rate was 67 rubles to a dollar, and this year obviously it's going to be below 60, or at least it looks like from the first quarter. And if we count, when we give you those figures that you see in the presentation, we count the ruble rate to be around 56 rubles a dollar. If the rate changes and goes up above 60, then of course the revenue forecast in rubles will be different, because it's almost a direct translation. So there will be growth in dollar terms on Segeja, but in rubles, sharp change in exchange rate will have its toll.
Understood. Thank you very much.
We'll take our next questions from Sveta Sukhanova from Sberbank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi everyone. May I have a follow-up on Alex's discussion about Segeja? You reviewed, sounds like from your press release that you reviewed Segeja numbers. Can you give any background to this? And my second part of my question about Segeja would be about your guidance, which you was given in summer, for 10 billion rubles EBITDA for Segeja versus actual results of 8.7. Would you please elaborate in more details on this difference? It looks too big difference just for the exchange rate.
Well, actually, it is not. I mean, exchange rate has about 20% impact on the top line, and that, of course, translates very directly into OEBDA, because ruble costs do not change, but ruble revenues do change. So exchange rate has a very profound effect on Segeja. And we're not ready now to give you any detailed guidance for Segeja this year. I think we will assemble Segezha management and investors and analysts later this year to give you a new picture, because of course, you know, when we were giving forecasts last year, anticipation of ruble exchange rate was more between 65 to 70 rubles, not between 55 and 60 rubles. So that is a big change, which we could not have predicted in summer of 2016. So as we said in this presentation, we expect Segezha's top line growth this year to be from 5 to 15%. It's very difficult to say right now exactly what it will be, because again, it depends a lot on the exchange rate. But overall, Segezha's development program, growth, market position is not changing from the strategy that was given to you earlier, whatever date it might have been. We have not adopted any major changes or shifts to Segezha's strategy and any changes to the future development plans.
Okay, that's clear. We'll be looking forward for updates from your side, but you haven't answered the first part of my question. Why?
I did not understand the first part of your question.
Sorry, the numbers for 2015 were reviewed down. EBITDA.
For 2015?
Yes. Historic EBITDA for Segezha has been reviewed down.
So, do you know anything about this? Why?
Okay, thank you very much for your question. I think it's very appreciated that you are noticing the minor changes. There was a change in the accounting policy, which we can further explain at the accounting policy at Segezha level, which we can further explain through our IR.
Okay, but it was not like it was more than 10%. Fine. Okay, very clear. Thank you very much.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1, and we'll take our next question from Dilya Ibragimova from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. Maybe I'll come back to Segezha and STEP. The two questions I had is first on EBITDA. You did used to give us some guidance on where you expect EBITDA or EBITDA margin to be for the assets. Would it be possible to give us at least some view? Perhaps under your base case exchange rate for the two assets, and also for STEP, is it possible to give us a bit more insight on what production growth you're expecting, in particular in the crops, in considering the acquisitions that you've made in the fourth quarter? Is it still addition of around, I think that the guidance was at the time of the acquisition of the assets that the harvest will increase by around, just one second, I think 185 or 84 thousand tons.
Segezha EBITDA, as we just discussed, we anticipate to be between 5 and 15% above what we had in 2016. And Agra, we expect a much more aggressive growth if consolidated EBITDA has been above 4 billion rubles in 2016. It will most likely be above 6 billion, probably closer to 7 billion in 2017.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for a moment to allow everyone a follow-up question. Thank you. We'll take a follow-up question from Dilya Ibragimova from Citi. Please go ahead.
The follow-up question was more on SG&A or HQ EBITDA, the EBITDA losses. What is the best way for us to look at it, considering this cost is still the negative kind of number weighing on the free cash flow at the HQ level. What is the recurring number that we should look at when we take that into account, for example, in our evaluation? Is there any room, I guess, for SG&A to be improved going forward, or considering the monetization pipeline that you have in the plans, is it unlikely to come down, or maybe there is some projection for that cost to increase going forward?
I will answer first, and then CEO will fill up the details. On SG&A in 2016, our expense has been around 10 billion rubles, 10.5, or something around this number to be exact. And I think this number didn't change dramatically in the last few years, and we don't expect it to again change dramatically in the future in either direction. On one hand, we took a significant reduction in our SG&A in 2014. Following the crisis and the Bashneft events. On the other hand, we have a significant increase in the pipeline of deals. Therefore, our deal expenses go up, and we had to revise some of the salaries because we haven't been changing those salaries over the last 3 years. There are some other infrastructure related, such as IT expenses here. And so it's business as usual. We don't see that as an issue at this point. And Evsevod, maybe you want to add something.
Well, I can only add that we, as we are increasing our activity, definitely we see that certain so-called project-related costs are on the rise. On the other side, as you can remember, we deduct this cost from the motivation of our investment portfolio. So in reality, the net effect is kind of mitigated. Going forward, we do not expect a major increase in this cost. There might be a certain inflation-related single-digit increase, but that's also not very likely. So from our perspective, these costs are under firm control, and their slight increase represents the size of the business under management.
And I can add you one thing which you have to be aware of. We do have a motivation system which ties management compensation, specifically portfolio managers, to value creation and monetization. Therefore, if we do have more value creation, more monetization, and more money coming into Sistema as cash flows, you should expect motivation to also go up because it's a percentage-related kind of equation. And in that case, yes, the absolute amount of SG&A will increase.
Mm-hmm. That's very helpful. Thank you.
We'll take a follow-up question from Sveta Zukanova from Sberbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi everyone again. My follow-up question would be on real estate and specifically on Leader Invest. Would you please disclose the gross asset value for this company as per its audited financials or NAV, whatever, for 2016?
No, gross asset value we're not disclosing at this point. I can orient you only towards the there has been actually a presentation given by Leader Invest Management recently to a group of analysts and investors, and our EBITDA projections and revenue growth numbers are very impressive. I can only say that by 2020, with a high degree of probability, we will have a business that generates 15 to 20 billion rubles of EBITDA a year.
Okay, as a follow-up question, but that number should be in the audited financials of Leader Invest. Will you disclose audited financials of Leader Invest?
Audited financials, not on this call for sure. That's a question to Leader Invest and management and the board of Leader Invest. I have to review with them what their disclosure strategy is. I cannot give you right now a definitive answer, but we'll take this under advisement.
Okay, thank you very much.
We'll take our next question from Igor Gonarov from BCS. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. I just have several clarification questions on the bridges on financial position that you have on the slides 6 and 7, financial position of the corporate center. First of all, if you compare these two bridges, you have similar items there, but a different size. I mean, for example, in the slide number 6, you have debt. Slide number 7, you have SSTL debt repayment in the amount of 21, broadly, billion rubles. At the same time, the same similar item on the slide number 7 6 goes as 24. So when you look at that from liability side, it is 21. From asset side, it is 24. Can you I think similar discrepancies for other items, including SSTL, put option and Micron shares? Can you please explain what is the reason for the for different amounts for the same items in those two bridges? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. As you can see, there is asterisk on the slide 6 related to SSTL debt repayment. Here the numbers 24 billion rubles include interest, while on the slide 7, which is discussing the amount of the gross debt, the all numbers are net of interest paid. Same is related to other questions, if I understand, to other items, if I understand correctly.
Okay, and in relation to deposits from Ural Invest, and you show here them as a part of the cash inflow for the corporate center. Can you remind, please, what is the situation with those? Can they really be treated now as a cash for your business?
As you can remember, these deposits were restricted in use in a way that should we decide in 2015, for example, at any point of time, or 2016 to take money back, we would lose all the interest accrued, including the interest accrued during the previous, during the pre 2015. That's why we show the deposits from Ural Invest as monetization, because it's only becoming available at a certain point, or at a certain time interval to us. By this, in 2016, we were able to get this money in cash from all the banks where it was deposited, and in 2017, it's very small portion only remained. I suspect under 3 billion. So, in fact, most of the deposits from Ural Invest were already cashed in.
Thank you very much. And just one more question on the SG&A at the corporate center level, which is 10.5, as you explained, 10.6. Can you explain, please, what portion of that is actually compensation for for personnel compensation and bonuses, and how many people are receiving those compensations at the corporate center level?
Well, we usually do not go in that detail, so I would suggest to refrain from that. There is a reporting, and the key numbers are there. Besides that, I would suggest that we do not go in much detail.
I can remind you how the motivation system and Sistema work. Basically, investment portfolios or investment portfolio teams receive 10% of the value created as an option. And out of this 10% of the value created, the minimum required interest level is subtracted, which is at the central bank refinancing rate as established in Sistema, and all the expenses of the particular portfolio related to a particular transaction. And whatever remains, the same amount is awarded in total to the rest of Sistema management. So altogether, it's like 20% carry minus the mandatory return minus expenses, which is common practice among private equity funds. That's how compensation works, and there is nothing beyond that principle. And value creation again has to be supported by monetization. So it cannot be that on paper we drew some value creation in an asset which was not sold or publicly traded, or which valuation was not supported by anything, pay compensation.
We'll take our next question from Olga Bystrova from Credit Suisse.
Yes, good evening. Follow-up on Segezha. I think a year ago, outlined that you're planning to spend about $42 billion in CapEx. It looks like 2016 was a bit lighter, at least on the what you reported in terms of CapEx numbers. Has anything changed, or we should expect sort of a large expenditure in 2017? And also, similarly on Segezha, you mentioned that they paid some dividends in 2016. Can you maybe suggest the magnitude and, given your CapEx outlook, how much you expect in 2017 and 18? So that's the first question. The second question, you in presentation on the slide, I think 11, say that in 2018, 2019, and 20, you expect monetization of more than $30 billion. Is this predominantly related to your plans for primary issuance in real estate, agriculture, and pulp and paper that you're talking about in press release? Or there is a material portion of that could be related to sale of other assets? And if yes, to other assets, what kind of assets should we be aware of? The last question is on the magnitude of the dividends from non-MTS and non-Defkimir assets. Can you just sort of at least qualitatively suggest which assets have contributed the majority part of that, and whether you expect the contribution, relative contribution, to change in 2017-2018? Thank you.
Yeah, there are a lot of questions, all of which come down to sort of what exact guidance are we giving to our cash flow this year, which we are not, clearly, and I won't be able to share those details with you. I can say on your first question on the CapEx of Segezha that it is likely that CapEx will probably be slightly less and more kind of stretched in time. In Segezha, as we're optimizing this CapEx, obviously, and when we start building things, we see opportunities for optimization, and we see markets change. We do not, again, make any dramatic changes to Segezha strategy, but we are acting more rationally on this investment to balance it better with the debt that we have to put on the company, ruble exchange rate developments, and other changes in markets and products and competition. But overall, kind of, we're going to stay within the frame that we originally anticipated. As far as monetization is concerned, we do have a monetization plan. It's a combination of various steps to return some of the debts that we had from our subsidiaries, sell some assets, including some real estate. But again, we're not giving specific guidance as to what exact asset will be monetized, at which amount, and at which point, because all that is subject to change and to particular market circumstances.
If I add a question on the dividends, the key contributors to our dividend this year were Segezha, Defkimir, BPGC, and our real estate assets, both rental business and development business. As we said, this year, 2017, we expect decrease of the contribution of Segezha. I wouldn't go down to exact numbers because that would very much depend on the actual average annual exchange rate this year. However, we expect that certain increase of dividends will come from other assets mentioned earlier, plus we will see increase of dividends coming from STEP and then few other assets. So all in all, in 2017, we expect that we will be able to generate at least as much dividends from non-public assets or non-MTS assets And we will see this number grow in 2018 because most of the CapEx expenses at Segezha will be done this year. And starting from next year, we expect them to be able to come back to the level of dividends that we saw earlier.
Okay, thank you. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have no further questions. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
Thank you, everyone, for joining this call. We can now conclude it and have a very good day. We can follow up on any questions through our investor relations, so please send them along to us.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.